Zaslow, Romberg, and Amber on 790 The Ticket.
All right, good morning, everyone. Zaslow, Roms, and Amber. It is a Friday morning, the 15th morning of March. I love Friday. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Romberg, good morning.
Hi.
Amber's in Sarasota. Let's hear how she sounds. Good morning.
Yo.
Very good. We got Slim running the show here today.
Hey.
Tobin is doing Dallas kind of stuff. Fighting. I don't know. He's doing something out there. Did anyone learn what he's doing yesterday afternoon? I didn't think Amber was listening to his show, I'm sure.
No, he's kept it pretty under the radar. Every single time.
What does that mean, he's kept it under the radar? Like, he's doing a show out there. That's the opposite of under the radar.
Yeah, don't you notice that when we're not going to be here, we always tell each other, hey, man, we're out. And then all of a sudden, on Tuesday night or Wednesday afternoon, he's like, I'm going to be in Dallas, Jerry's World.
Right, but
he didn't tell us at all, I didn't think.
No, I know. I'm just like, what do you mean?
No, he said Jerry's Dallas, World. But I don't remember him telling us why.
I was like, what do you mean, Jerry's World? Huh. Out there for
he is at that big fight.
Out there for the fight, and I was like,
he is at that pay per view fight.
Okay,
is he doing a show at AT&T Stadium?
Now you're asking a lot of questions. I don't know. He was on social media yesterday. He showed the screen.
He's just doing a fighter's fury.
The screen's always
man.
The indication that you're in Dallas.
It's
you know,
fighter's
he showed
fury.
The screen.
He's doing fighter's fury on the scene.
Solo mission.
Fighter's fury live in Dallas. Mm-hmm. They should do that, Tim, every weekend wherever the fights are on Saturday night. He should have to do Fighter's Fury there on Sunday morning.
I don't know who he's out there with. I saw him on a plane with Hawkman.
Oh, they're always together.
And I don't know if Crowder's out there, and I didn't see Leroy.
No, Leroy's not going.
So it's just Tobin?
Yeah.
All right, that's his crew then. So, yeah, you could hear Tobin this afternoon. We'll get through it. We'll be okay here this morning, I hope. So, last night, the Panthers got a late-night win, all right? The Panthers won at the San Jose Sharks. I didn't watch a second of it. I went to sleep. I was tired. I didn't watch any of it. And you know what? I'll be perfectly honest with you. When I woke up this morning, I got forgotten about it. I stumbled across it this morning when I woke up and I was checking out some stuff that happens. Oh, that's a nice little treat to just stumble on a 4-2 Panthers win there. So, the Heat are back in action tonight as well. Some college basketball stuff, actually.
That was what stole the show yesterday. That was the thing that everybody was kind of tuned in about. And it was, I don't know if it was necessarily a surprise, but it was a very much anticipated return in college basketball yesterday.
Yeah, so there's some college basketball stuff to get to. But the big news, of course, is I need to give a review this morning on Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
I saw Captain Marvel yesterday.
You don't want to wait for, like, the prime
time?
Do
you need to?
Like, you don't
it's
wanna
like
wait
a
for-
need?
I gotta
like
give
it's
a
like
review.
A, you know, like you have to breathe oxygen. Like you need to give the review.
I'll put it this way: yesterday we had to go change out some shoes for the middle kid, the Rapunzel outfit. So we had to go change up some shoes, get a little bit of a bigger size. Walk into the Disney store in Dadeland Mall, and the whole front display is Captain Marvel, and that's a lot of Captain Marvel, mucho Captain Marvel. So. It's definitely something that is a big deal. As far as the movie goes, the reviews just keep getting better and better once the DC hate has kind of slid off the side of the hill.
That's
how
it happened. That's how it happened.
A lot of sliding off. Or just maybe females are just going to the movies a little bit more now and maybe they're allowed to write reviews. Well, because it's a very empowering movie from what I heard. It's like very Wonder Woman or Superwoman-esque. What was that movie that came out with your girl?
Well, yeah, Wonder Woman was the other
like
female superhero.
Massively
movie.
Empowering woman movie and woman lead and that kind of thing. And now this thing blowing the doors off of it, apparently. So I'm really excited to go see this movie.
Yeah, it's really. I mean, I loved it. My review 100%, 100% score. Yes, 100% score.
Stop.
If we want to get official, okay. 100%
score.
Well,
he only has two scores. It's either 0% or 100%. It's the dumbest rating.
I'm not going to confirm nor deny
movie
that.
Ratings.
I will not confirm nor deny that. But it 100% is my rating, okay? It's really... I loved it, okay? I loved every minute of it.
100% certified Zaz.
That's right. That's right. I loved it. And, you know, my guess as to the negative reviews... Not negative... reviews from folks who do this for a living, it's negative reviews from audience scores, okay? Because reviews from critics have been very positive the whole way through. any negative reviews that were coming in, which are now getting less and less and less, were from audience scores.
When it comes to a negative review for a movie, and you don't want to let the cat out of the bag with what's going on in the movie, what do you say, or how do you justify
a negative
review? Yes. How do you justify a negative review? What do you say about it? Like, is the action not good, or like, what's the actual knocks about this movie?
Well, I could tell you, me personally, I used to read movie, like when I was growing up, I used to read movie reviews all the time. Like Miami Herald, Rene Rodriguez, I used to read that every Friday, okay, trying to get, you know, find out what the movies are about and whatever. And then as I got a little bit older, I hated reading the reviews because I don't want any of the movies spoiled for me. And also, you know what? I don't want to get anyone else's opinion before I give my opinion. You know, like I don't want it to be, I don't want my opinion
Renee,
to be slanted.
And Renee ain't you. I got you.
I don't want my opinion to be slanted. Mm-hmm. So like I don't care about the review. I want
okay.
to, and that's one of the reasons that I like Rotten Tomatoes so much, because I could see what people think about the movie without having any of it spoiled for me or any kind of opinion. I was like, oh, people like it.
Why,
I don't have to read the review.
They filter?
No, the point is I could see the score. Like, I'm just seeing the score.
You're just looking
at a percentage. Okay. Yeah, I'm just looking at a percentage.
Got it.
So I don't...
never understood the obsession with movie reviews. I mean, just go, like, if you want to see the movie, you just go see the movie. Like, why do you need somebody to tell you whether they liked it or not?
I think people don't want to waste their time. I think part of that is, I think part of it is they don't want to waste their time.
You. That's why I ask you about movies all the time.
Yeah.
You're like my official review critic, and I ask you to tell me exactly what happened in the movie. That way, I'll base that on if I'm going to go see it
well,
or not.
Well, that's just weird that you like that, that you like to know what happens.
Yeah,
that's
to clarify cool. for people who don't understand what Romberg is saying, like, Romberg actually likes to know what happened in the movie or the TV show, for that matter. He wants you to tell him.
Spoiler.
Yeah, he wants you to
it's
tell him
weird.
How it starts, how it middles, and how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decides if that sounds cool, and then he goes to see it or watches the show.
If Zaslow tells you he doesn't like something, do you genuinely then not go see it? Like, that ruins it for you?
I listen to his salty review, and if there's a few things that he likes in it, then I'll base my things on that. Like, it's just, I'm not going to go or not go because he doesn't like it, or he does like it. I just want to know what happened in the movie, and I know what I like. So if it's about, you know, chicas and going to the club until 5 o'clock in the morning and just obliterating yourself and you know, self-deprecating things, then there's a good chance I'm going to go see it. Zaslow, on the other hand, if it's about wrestling and reading movie reviews and newspapers and watching sporting events, I'm not going to go see it because that's something that he likes, not something that I like.
So I think that is why I like Rotten Tomatoes so much, because it just gives me a score and it doesn't spoil anything for me. So it's real simple, because I stopped reading movie reviews. I used to love reading movie reviews. I stopped reading movie reviews a long time ago.
Okay. But I think it's so strange that on Rotten Tomatoes, you're the only person I know who cares about the critic score. Like, I think that's so strange that you identify with the critic.
Well, because
instead of the audience.
Well, because the reason that I do that is because they understand, you know, when it comes to the nuances of a movie that regular audience members like myself may not necessarily know all the time. They understand good directing. They understand, you know, when it comes to lighting and special effects.
Okay, but who cares?
Because
you
lines.
Don't.
No, but I do care.
Like,
I do care.
A movie is not going to be ruined for you because the lighting is imperfect or the sound editing's off. And it will be maybe for a movie critic, but for the audience doesn't care. The audience just wants to be entertained.
I like knowing the reasons that
so much more on point.
I like knowing the reasons that Scorsese's a good director. I like knowing the reasons that these guys are good at their job because of this. And I can't necessarily point those things out when I see a movie, but the guys who do it for a living, they can point that stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, that's interesting. I like that kind of stuff. It's because I really like movies. If it's someone who doesn't really love movies, then yeah, they're not going to care about that kind of stuff. But I really like movies, so that stuff comes off. It's why, hey, I never miss the Academy Awards and the Golden Globes. I love that stuff. I love those awards. I really like movies. So I think for someone like me, I care about the critics more. But I'll also tell you, when I used to read the critics and everything, when I used to read the reviews, Miami Herald or whatever growing up, my favorite part about the review was how many stars it got. So of course I'm going to like Rotten Tomatoes, where it skips the whole, you know, review and just gives me the stars. It gives me
right,
the score.
Right, but my point is, when you were growing up, all we had was critics, movies, reviews. And now with Rotten Tomatoes, you also have essentially a star system for audience scores as well.
Yeah, wasn't there a show on TV?
I find the audience score much more accurate.
Wasn't there a show on TV with those two guys sitting there? The one guy had a beard. He ended up, like, losing a lot of
his face
from
the Muppets, right?
Cancer.
You talking about the guys who sit in the balcony in the Muppets?
Those two.
Yeah, those. I love those guys. They're funny. I had such a hard time yesterday during the movie. So I saw Captain Marvel yesterday afternoon. That's a good dad, man. I wish that happened to me growing up. My dad would pick me up from school and was like, hey, guys, we're going to go to the movies right now. That ever happened to you?
No, man.
Amber, that ever happened to you?
Sorry. I was I couldn't hear you. Sorry.
Okay. So yesterday I pick up my kids, and I wish that happened to me. You know, we got in the car. I was like, hey, you know what we're doing right now? We're going to see the movie. We're going to Captain Marvel. They were so excited. So we get to the movie, and you know, whatever. So the movie's going on, and the movie takes place in the 90s. Okay, it's a prequel to all the Marvel superhero movies we've seen.
That's why you liked it so much. I got it.
Oh, the music was so good in the movie, dude.
Really?
Oh, it's
good soundtrack.
It's so, because it's all 90s music. It was so good. There was a lot. You know, look. First of all, it's a very female empowering movie. Mm-hmm. So the music throughout the movie.
Sarah McLachlan?
No, it'd be a terrible choice.
No, it's Morissette.
No, well, that would have been a good choice, but it's TLC, it's En Vogue.
Oh God!
You know, like it's 90s. When the big fight scene, okay, toward the end of the movie, the music that's playing in the back is No Doubt's Just a Girl. You know, like, it's 90s music, and it was really cool. It was really cool.
Before Gwyneth Paltrow went on her,
Gwen Stefani.
Gwen Stefani for her solo career, yeah.
Yeah, No Doubt. It's No Doubt's Just a Girl,
that's
which
was
like, their
that's
huge
she was dating the guy.
Hit.
Yeah.
And
she was. She was dating the guitarist or drummer or something for years.
Yeah. So the soundtrack movie, there was Nirvana in it,
no.
You know. Yeah, it
so
was
when they were
really
riding
good.
In the car, there's a couple scenes that I've seen on the preview. Like, Samuel L. Jackson is riding in the car, and he's got his hair, and he's got both eyes.
He's got both eyes.
And are they playing music in the background of the cars at all? Like, is Even Flow come on or anything like that?
No. Like I said, most of the music that was in the movie was for female artists.
So no Alice in Chains.
No. That's why it was kind of surprising that there was Nirvana in one scene. But anyway, so we're watching the movie. The movie takes place in the 90s, which was really cool. And I'm trying to explain to my younger son. My younger son is 7. I'm trying to explain to my younger son that the movie is that this movie is before the other movies that we've seen. Okay, that the movie's taking place out of order. Mm-hmm. This is from 20 plus years ago. So all the other superheroes, you know, they don't exist yet. And so I said, no, this movie takes place before everything else. He goes, what do you mean before? I go, well, this is the 90s. And so then he says, oh, so this movie's old. And I was like, no. This movie's not old. It just came out. It's very new, this movie. It is not old. And he says, so what does that mean, take place? I go, I couldn't explain it to him. Like, I couldn't find a way that it could compute in his little brain. And I was like, no, this movie, it's like, it's out of order.
Don't tell me he was peppering you the whole freaking movie, standing on his chair asking you questions.
No, but he makes comments throughout the movie because he's very excited throughout the movie. He likes when he understands what's going on, so he's very excited.
I couldn't do it. Little Zazzle sounds a bit annoying.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
No, he's very excited about it. He loves it. But I couldn't get it across to him that the movie is a prequel. Although it's not really a prequel, it's just a movie that takes place before the other movies we've seen. So prequel doesn't even describe it properly.
There's no way I would take my kid to go see that and have that happen to me. I'd have to go to see the movie first. And then I would go back and bring the kids and go see the movie.
Because you think you're going to miss stuff because they're talking?
Yeah, man. I'm not interested in that.
No,
like,
no,
even
no,
if I go to the movie
anything.
With my wife, no. Leave me alone, man.
It's a superhero movie. I mean, it's not. It's a movie that is supposed to appeal to the whole family. So you kind of got to suck it up in that spot, right?
Not when the kid's standing
it's
on
not
his
like
chair,
adult time.
Climbing
not
over the armrest.
Standing on his chair.
Daddy, what happened? Is he? Hey, look, man. You're going to get the forearm shiver back down in your seat, and you're going to get the arm seat belt put on you. If you don't sit there and shut up, we're going home. That's it.
You know what I was also thinking about during the movie yesterday? I was remembering what it was like when I was seeing movies when I was a kid and how there was no stadium seating, in any movie theaters, and you would literally be sitting in a movie theater, and if someone sat in front of you, you couldn't see. Like, someone's head could be in front of the screen.
Is that the way they used to do it, really?
Yeah, man. Stephen,
what are you talking about? When did they used to do it like that?
When did there used to not be stadium seating in a movie theater?
Yes.
For the first 20 years of my life?
Really?
No, that's some weird South Florida thing that you had going on.
So you grew up in the day you were born, there was stadium seating in movies?
I only remember ever having stadium seating in movie theaters.
All right. Was not like that here. It was movie theaters were, it was regular rows. That's why stadium seating was such a huge deal in movies. Whoa, that theater's got stadium seating. Oh, my God.
Really?
Yes.
What?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, man.
Did you grow up in the 1940s? Okay. Were the movies black and white?
Nope.
Were they silent?
Was there any drive-ins here?
Swap shop. Swap shop was the place to go. I never went.
The one off Sunrise there?
Yeah.
I never went, but Swap Shop was the drive-in theater.
We had the station wagon with the wood paneling on it, and we would outfit the back of it with pillows and blankets, and we would pull up to the movies, and we would obviously get that window rolled down in the back or crank open the trunk. And we would just lay there and watch the movie like we were camping.
And what do? They have like the speaker box. Yeah, have like the little unit next to the car.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man.
That's pretty cool.
I think that sounds really cool. Why don't they have drive-ins anymore?
I don't think it's safe. I think that plays a part. I don't think it's very safe.
Plus, having a little 4x4 box speaker is not really delivering the sound that these films and directors are paying millions and millions of dollars
for. That's true, now.
Yeah, that part's way
outdated. Could you imagine watching like Star Wars on that little 4x4-inch box?
Yeah,
as opposed to now,
and you're watching it on a huge screen, but yeah, your sound quality would be.
And even the screen itself. Heaven forbid you go watch it before it's a little bit dark. You're not going to see the first half of the movie, for God's sake.
You know what they also used to do at Six Flags Atlantis? It was always a thing. I mean, if you grew up down here, Six Flags Atlantis was the bomb. And what they always used to do on Saturday nights, they would in the wave pool, they would set the waves to be on the whole time. The waves would be on for 2 hours plus whatever. And there was a big movie screen atop at the end of the wave pool. And you're just in the wave pool on your tube, and they would show movies.
Really?
And that was a big thing at Six Flags Atlantis on Saturday nights. Yeah.
Texters are agreeing with you, Zaslow, about the lack of stadium seating. I don't know what y'all had going on.
Well, yeah, I don't need
Florida.
Them to agree. It was real life.
It was a thing. I can co-sign that.
I mean,
Everyone agreeing. Everyone agreeing. I mean, all of you guys grew up down there. I have never heard of that.
Movie theater experience is so good now. It was, I mean, back then, oh, man. Literally, if someone was sitting in front of you, you may not have been able to see half the screen because there'd be a big dome.
And I guess some of the people are saying as well that there is still a few different drive-ins around the country.
Oh,
and what
sure.
they do is you can tune your car stereo to a certain channel.
No,
and that's how you watch it.
It was always like that. It's always been like that. There was some low frequency FM dial, FM channel you could put your radio on and you would get the movie. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, 100% Captain Marvel yesterday. And the big thing that I could tell you, because now I've seen the movie, is a couple reasons why I'm sure the ratings from the audience score was low at first. Number one, it's very female empowering. And number two, and this part is obviously a little bit polarizing because of the times that we live in these days, there's a very political aspect to the movie. And obviously, and you know, especially when it comes to immigration, okay, that is essentially what the movie is dealing with. And that is obviously super polarizing in today's political climate. And yeah, I think that is what has turned some people off because they don't want that in their movies. And that's obviously stupid. So,
but it's dealing with superheroes.
I know, man.
Can't they like?
Yeah, don't try and rationalize stupidity. It's stupid.
That's the stupid part. Not that people don't like it because there's a strong female lead. Like,
well, both.
Well, I think
part.
A lot of people
both.
Walk.
Except with Wonder Woman got super duper strong reviews. So I think it's more about the political aspect than it is the strong female lead. Because I mean,
no,
Wonder Woman
were
was amazing.
Out about Wonder
reviews.
Woman before it came out, though, people were all freaked out about Wonder Woman.
I could understand
that was the whole controversy with her not shaving and all that stuff.
But she was smoke. She was hot fire. This one I don't think is too hot fire. And I think it's more about people showing up and expecting to see like an unbelievable sandwich artist or somebody that could push a vacuum around super, super, super fast. And they just don't get it. They don't get it with this one.
She's pretty hot, though. This Brie Larson. She's pretty good.
Not into it.
That should be the female superpower. Yeah, pushing around the vacuum faster.
The vacuum and an absolute lethal weapon when it comes to making a hoagie sandwich. So lethal.
She could use the sandwich and she stabs you with it?
That's it.
God. I want to eat it, though.
Yeah, I know. That's the only problem.
Amber's got your headlines next. Tournament time right here on the ticket. Twin Peaks Tournament Twister. Your chance to pick all the college tournament games, win some amazing prizes. Log on to theticketmiami.com ASAP and register. Weekly winners get $50 gift cards. Twin Peaks. Why wouldn't you just register? It doesn't cost you anything. The grand prize is a day in the Twin Peaks Man Cave. $500 worth of food and beverage for you and your friends. Twin Peaks Tournament Twister brought to you by Twin Peaks. Voted best place to bust your bracket. And by Largo Honda. Great selection, better deals, no sharks. And finally, by Botron Rum, the taste of perfection. Award-winning Botron Rum. Rum that is not just aged, but nurtured. Register for the Twin Peaks Tournament Twister now at theticketmiami.com. Let's do some headlines here. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Let's go, Slim.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
So I might have been living underneath a rock here, but... People are saying that they like AMC because you could buy your seats and you could arrive like 2 minutes, 3 minutes before the movie and your seat will be empty.
Well, that's every theater now. It's very rare that you find a theater.
You could actually
these days.
Reserve a particular seat.
Yeah, man. Like, you don't go to the movies very often, do you? That's the best part. But going to movies nowadays is so convenient compared to what it used to be. Not only did we not used to have stadium seating, okay, so and the seats sucked, okay? Terrible seats. You got nowhere to rest your head, okay? You're not like, and you're not reclining at all, okay? So you're sitting in a normal seat that doesn't recline.
It is a couple inches, doesn't it? A movement?
No. Back when I was growing up, no. It's
stiff
a regular
as a board, really?
Yeah, it's a regular
now,
seat.
Now, that you're right about. I don't remember no stadium seating, but I do remember that the seats did not recline.
And so not only was that the case, but if you were seeing a really popular movie, like, for instance, Captain Marvel, there was no way you were going to see it opening weekend, because if you were seeing it opening weekend, you would have to get to the theater an hour in advance, okay, to not only make sure that you get a ticket, but to make sure that you're not sitting in the front row, because no one wants to sit in the front row. And back then, people would have to line up outside the movie theater waiting for the previous movie to end.
I remember that.
Waiting for them to then clean the theater, and then you get to go in and run and try and pick a decent seat. You
know, the move
was
anymore. Sometimes you snuck into the movie before it just to have the seat for the movie when it came up.
But then what happens when you see the end of the previous movie?
Yeah.
Oh, but then it ruins it for you.
You never snuck into a movie that you... Well, but if it's a movie you don't care about.
Amber's just going there to get felt up. That's her thing.
It's a date thing.
Well, that's what Amber. Tell me that's
say,
not true because I'm with you
up
on
in
this.
The movies, but I'm sure maybe I did. I don't know. And
you never had the armor
back
on the
row,
shoulder.
I'm sure I did.
Kind of
sure
climbing the fingers down the right boob.
I'm sure
and
there
just,
was. I'm sure
hey.
There was some makeout sessions in the back of movie theaters.
Yeah,
now
man.
That I think about it,
no movies
more thoroughly.
Are so convenient
high
these
school,
days,
baby.
Man. You pick out your seats beforehand. You do it on your phone, so you show up just a couple minutes before the movie starts. And here's a move. I'm going to teach you something, okay? Because you know I'm Ticket Ninja.
You're talking about making plays move on ladies or no?
No. I don't even worry about that anymore. I'm set for life. But, you know, I'm Ticket Ninja, okay? And that applies to more than just sports and concerts. Sometimes that applies to movies, all right? So I'm going to give you a tip right now, okay? You ready for this tip?
Not really.
No, this is a hot tip. You
oh,
ready?
God.
This is a hot tip, okay? You get to the movie. Now, it has to be a movie that's not packed, okay?
You're not
going to
warm me up first?
No, listen. You get to a movie, it has to be a movie that's not packed, okay? So it can't be like opening weekend for a superhero movie. But you get to the movie, there aren't very many people in it, all right? And right before the movie starts, like a couple minutes, it has to be before the movie starts, all right? If the movie's at 4:30, you can't do this at 4:31, okay? It needs to be before 4:30.
And most people don't go to the movies at 4:30, Sazzo.
I did yesterday. So
well,
you're
we know you do.
So you're in the theater, okay? The movie's about to start. And if there aren't a lot of people, you go onto your phone. I'm telling you, it's a hot tip, all right? You're going to thank me. You go on, and movies are expensive these days, by the way. Robert, how much do you think a movie costs to go to these days?
$11, $12.
Yeah, that's usually what it is. And if you go in, like, the special IMAX, you know, screen, you're talking $19, man.
For what?
Yeah, man.
So crazy.
Movies are expensive. Anyway, you go onto your phone right before the movie is going to start. and you click on your purchase, and you go, need an exchange, can't make the movie, okay? And you exchange your tickets.
Oh, you're dirty.
Right before the movie starts, okay? And no one's coming to take your seats because it's not a popular theater. And this way, you're in the theater, you're seeing the movie, and you got your money back. That's the move. Hot tip.
Wow, you're welcome. That is a shady, shady move. That is like that college admission scandal. You're gonna end up in prison one day.
Look, since I let the cat out of the bag, hopefully AMC doesn't go out of business.
Oh God,
okay?
You're done.
But that's the move right there.
There goes that sales deal that our sales team was working endlessly for you. The theater thing, that's over with.
You exchange the ticket either for your credits. I use Fandango.
Our sales team was working endlessly for something.
I use Fandango, so either exchange it for a credit or you have it charged right back to your car, whatever it is. But it has to be for a movie that is not packed. And it has to be before the preview starts. And then you're in the movie, and you got your money back.
You really went to the movies for the movies, huh? I used it as like a means to an end.
He really did.
Oh, yeah, no, both,
really
both,
into
both.
The actual
no,
movie.
I loved to take
oh,
girls
please.
To movies. Yeah, no, I loved. What else were we doing
did
back
you?
Then?
Except for when the girl starts to try to, get down a little bit. Were you like,
shh,
did
no,
you
no, no,
shush
no, I'm trying
her?
To watch. I'm trying to watch.
Shh.
Well, no, if I was doing that, though, if I was doing that with a girl, it was for a movie that, I don't really care so much
did
about.
Did you face mush? Just like. Get out of here.
No. It was usually for a movie that I didn't care so much about. But of course, where else were you going to take a girl when you were in high school, 25 years ago? It had to be a movie.
You ever get that work in a theater before?
You know what was else the good place?
Don't dodge my question. You know what I'm asking you. You ever get that work in the theater before?
Like real work? Because no.
That's a third. I'd say
no.
Third.
No, because he no.
You're not getting a home
so.
Run.
Everybody has a different definition
so.
Of bases here, Romberg. But is this a appropriate conversation?
Yes, of course it
here?
Is. We're making it.
You know what was a good move though?
Kids listening.
The Friday night, Saturday night, Miami Planetarium laser light show. That was the move.
Did you go high?
Planetarium was a great day.
Stop letting all the cats out of the bags, man. Come
well, you're giving away the secrets this morning
on,
with the whole
man,
saving
on.
Money situation. So
come
I'm just trying
on.
To figure out how you grew it.
Friday night, Saturday night, Miami Planetarium, laser light show, Pink Floyd.
Listen, it's
Led
medically
Zeppelin.
Legal now in Florida. Maybe there's a medical reason you'd need to go. Maybe there's a medical reason you can even smoke it now. They just passed it, so maybe there's a medical reason you need to smoke it before you go to the planetarium.
That was the move. That was my go-to date. I loved that. All right, what do we got going on here, Amber? Let's get to important stuff.
Your Miami Heat, they're back on the hardwood tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. Tip-off from American Airlines is set for 8 p.m. That means Zazzle will get you started right here on 790 The Ticket at 7 p.m. with the Miami Heat pregame show.
Speaking of hardwood, you didn't want to answer my question.
I said no.
The Florida Panthers beat the San Jose Sharks 4-2. I know she didn't ask me.
Amber, because I know the answer to your
Duke
question.
Beat Syracuse.
There's a reason why you got the paralyzed pinkies.
Really, that's why. 84-72 in the ACC tournament.
Death
Zion
grip.
Williamson made his return. 29 points, 14 boards, 5 steals. He made all 13 of his shots.
Decent
he
return.
Is pretty good. Pretty good.
Just a men among boys. That's what it looks like when he's out there on the floor, man. Like, he's not going to be that in the NBA. He's going to be great.
He's not going to be that. I know. That's why.
It's
you
a men
know,
against
I,
boys.
I'm very curious to see what he looks like in the NBA.
How much weight do you think he's going to lose?
I mean, he's going to be
he's
look,
285
he's,
pounds.
He's going to be really good, but right now it's a man among boys.
And did you notice in his post presser that he was really ready and available to play a couple games ago, and they just wanted to make sure that he was tip top physical condition?
Well, they could afford that. They're one of they're top. What are they? Two or three seed in the
and they're playing UNC
tournament,
next, huh?
And the ACC tournament. Yeah, they're playing UNC today. Virginia plays Florida State, and then that's the championship game.
So
he's
285 pounds, and he really is physically developed as opposed to
and for frame of reference that's of and for frame of reference LeBron is like
260.
Yeah, I was gonna say 260.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
LeBron keeps himself lean, don't forget. I mean, LeBron works to be that.
And Zion doesn't look like he's just like eating pizza and hamburgers either. Like he looks like he's
doesn't,
pretty
but he
muscular.
Doesn't look like he doesn't look like he trains like LeBron does.
No, my guess is no, but I'm wondering how much fat can he possibly lose? Like DJ Williams has a six-pack still and he's like 265. So, you know what I mean? Like I'm wondering at a guy that size.
Yeah, but DJ's a lot shorter, right?
Yeah, DJ's like 6'1", 6'2", so I can only imagine a guy like Zion, like how much leaner can he be?
I bet you'd be surprised. I bet that he could lean up some. I bet some of that is fat. But even regardless of that, I mean, just the size difference with who he's going to be going against, I do think Zion, as great as he is, I do think Zion has the potential to struggle a bit when he first gets into the league, because he, and it's not that he's not great enough to rise to the level of competition.
Right, he's just used to physically dominating
people. But he's so used to physically dominating these little guys, essentially, that I think that it's going to be a little bit of a wake-up call when he gets to the league and he's no longer a man amongst boys. Teddy Bridgewater signed a one-year deal with the New Orleans Saints. So that story is over. $7.5 million.
We'll get some more of that coming up. The Dolphins, they struck out. I don't know. It was really their choice. They could have offered more money, I suppose, if they wanted. But anyway.
Spring training. Your Miami Marlins beat the Houston Astros 12-6. They are on a roll. Yo. Today, the Fish take on the Braves. Your favorite, Wee and Jen, is on the hill for Miami, 1:05 p.m.
Hate him. Get the hell out of my city. Hate you, Wee and Jen.
Jorge Alfaro, he's been cleared for baseball activities, says he recovers from his knee injury. He still hopes to be ready for opening day.
All right, there you go.
Slim, am I supposed to do the sponsor here for golf?
Yeah.
Okay. The Players' Championship. After one round, your leaders are Tommy Fleetwood and Keegan Bradley at 7-under. Tiger Woods is at 2-under. That update was brought to you by Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee, serving golfers around the country since 1968.
Do you guys notice that whenever we talk about golf and we always mention the leaderboard, regardless of where Tiger is on the leaderboard, if he even is on the leaderboard,
you're always mentioning
his score. You don't mention
terrible.
Phil Mickelson. You don't mention other phenomenal golfers. Why is it, and how long will we continue to just mention Tiger? Is it as long as he's golfing?
Yes.
As long as he's on the tour, no matter what, he's going to be getting mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah, he's earned that.
Wow.
He's earned that level of interest. And that's headlines.
All right, there you go. All right, so yeah, there's a bunch of football stuff to get to today, and we'll do that. The Heat are back in action tonight. They have Milwaukee. This is a fun game, okay? Besides that, it's Milwaukee. They're the best team in the NBA right now. You got Giannis Antetokounmpo in town. You have it on a Friday night in downtown Miami. So you'll have a great crowd this evening. Tonight should be a lot of fun. 15 minutes of Heat is now.
James Johnson. Kelly Olynyk. Airplane mode.
Bam, bam.
Justice Winslow.
Josh Richardson.
Dragon. Flightside. Dwayne Wade.
This is All Pro Orthopedic and Sports Medicine. 15 minutes of Heat. At All Pro Orthopedic and Sports Medicine, it's their job to get you back in the game. With 4 South Florida locations, there's one near you. Go to allproorthopedics.com for more info.
And by HurricaneDamage.com, DF Property Damage, contact the law offices of Canner and Pintaluga at HurricaneDamage.com. Tonight's going to be fun. There are several games. There are several games remaining here that feel bigger than others. I know the coach is telling you every game's a playoff game. But tonight's a lot of fun. You win this game tonight, you're going to feel real good. Okay?
Is this the first time this year that they played Milwaukee?
No. It's the
home, at home.
This is the third or fourth time that they played Milwaukee. No, The Heat actually, probably the Heat's best win. I guess the Golden State one's the best win.
Oh, that's right. They did beat them down here, and then they went up there, and they got whooped.
Right. You could argue that their best win of the season. They beat Milwaukee 94-87. They held
that's
the Bucks
right.
at 87 points.
That's right.
Like, Bucks are either the highest or the second highest scoring team in the league. And I remember that night, they held them at the time. It was like 30 points below their season average, 87 points. That's crazy. And so, yeah, at the time, that was their best win of the season, without question. And yeah, so you got a chance to try and gain a little bit of ground and get some separation from the teams behind you. I know Orlando won last night, but you still have a game and a half lead over the Magic. The Magic won by 29 points against the Cavaliers, and I just trust the Heat despite this season, which has been below average. I just trust the Heat more than I would trust teams like Orlando and Charlotte. And despite the Heat having a very difficult record the rest of the way here, I think the Heat are going to make the postseason. And tonight would be one of those games that you would expect the Heat to lose in the remainder of this tough schedule. So if you win tonight, you're going to feel real good, especially because then Sunday you got Charlotte, and that's a swing game right there. So the next couple games are pretty important, especially because this team heads out on for a very difficult road trip, Oklahoma City and San Antonio, and then Milwaukee again. Next week. So, anyway, speaking of Oklahoma City, I saw last night on Inside the NBA, Charles Barkley had some advice for Russell Westbrook. He's giving out that advice.
Oh, God, Chuck.
Like I'm guessing it's because of the whole thing. Because, you see, yesterday the Utah Jazz owner, she came out and, you know, she wanted to say how, like our community is not racist.
So it's a female that owns the Jazz. And,
well, Larry Miller.
And he was talking about whooping that female's ass.
Larry Miller was the longtime owner of the Jazz. And I think it was within the last year or so Larry Miller passed away. So I guess his wife is now, you know, is now right. the you know, chairman.
Right.
And so she apparently last night addressed the crowd before the game. I mean, I saw some clips on TV. She was standing center court. She
really?
Had a microphone. Yeah, so she addressed the crowd about their behavior. Do we actually have that sound, Slim, of Gail Miller is what she's called? Do we have the sound of her?
That's her name?
Yeah, we don't have to play
no,
it.
No, I can find it.
All right, whatever. So she addressed the crowd before, and apparently the NBA also, they sent out a memo asking them to make a PSA, okay, and stressing the importance of respect and civility in NBA arenas. So the league is concerned about what's
the safety of the players as well, is my guess.
I don't think safety as much as just
interaction.
Like, let's, yeah, because it doesn't look good having their players yelling or reacting or looking confrontational, because even a guy who is diminutive in stature based on NBA standards like Russell Westbrook, compared to regular people, he's really big.
Yep.
And it doesn't look good when you have that guy standing over fans and getting into arguments.
And in particular, yelling about, you know, whooping some woman's ass.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Hmm. So yeah, the league is clearly really concerned with their image in this regard. Especially because the NBA over the last 20 years, 15, 20 years, has done a terrific job when it comes to really cleaning up their image. And yeah, they're obviously concerned about this. All right, so anyway, Charles Barkley last night, you want to hear him give some advice to Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, let's hear what
because
Chuck
it's not like
say.
Charles Barkley ever spit on fans or anything like that when he was a player.
Russell's got to have thicker skin and ignore that stuff, because now everybody's going to be saying stuff just to piss him off. Everybody knows their go words. But if you go and beat one of these people up and hurt them, you're going to be in jail and you're going to be poor. And let me tell you something, black and poor don't work in any state. Now, you know I've been arrested, I think, 4 times for hitting fans. I was wrong. I'm more mature now. At the time I hit them, they deserve to be hit. But I'm 56 now. I was wrong. You got to be able to walk away. First of all, they don't want to fight you. They can't beat you. They want to upset you and sue you. I was wrong when I did it. I don't regret doing it, but I was wrong. You have to be man enough to admit when you're wrong. But at the time, they deserved it. But I'm older now. I got to walk away.
Kind of hedging his statement there a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, like I was about to be so proud of Charles where
they deserved it.
Well, because
it
did kind of like do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah,
it's kind of one of those.
Yeah. And it's originally it sounded like Charles wasn't going to let you all know that he used to spit on fans. And then he let you know.
Yeah, he came clean.
But then also told you that he would do it again.
Yeah, they deserved
essentially.
It. They deserved it.
Yeah. Now, you know I've been arrested, I think, 4 times for hitting fans.
I mean, Charles,
he's honest.
He used to spit on fans.
If he didn't say that, though, the media would have been crushing
True.
Him today for him having the audacity to say these things and give this advice when he used to be who he used to be back in his playing days. So I guess that's why he felt the need to be transparent and then still say, I've grown up, and you can't act like I did.
My dad and my uncle were at a game at the Miami Arena way back when I guess it was the Sixers, when the Sixers were playing at the Heat, and they were sitting right behind the visitor's bench. They were sitting in the front row. My dad and my uncle were sitting visitor's bench right behind front row. And they had Charles Barkley threw a cup of water, and it landed on my dad and my uncle. He wasn't throwing it at them. He was trying to throw it at the guy who was sitting next to them, who was talking trash to Charles Barkley, and it got on my dad and my uncle. But like Barkley's the worst. Well, maybe he's the best guy to give advice because he's regretting
been through the
it
fire,
now.
Man.
But yeah,
no, he's not regretting. Remember, he said he doesn't regret it.
He doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
He knows it was wrong, but he doesn't regret his wrong actions. Yeah, they had Charles Barkley throw, you know, the Gatorade cup of water, and it landed on them. Like, Barkley was the worst when it came to the fans. He was so nasty. People don't remember that. You know, or people, you know, if you're 20, 25 years old, you watch the NBA now, you're a hardcore NBA fan, Charles is fun, and he's likable, and he was the meanest when he played.
He don't
just
care.
The meanest.
He just don't care, I think. And I think that's probably the best quality about him right now. CFN, that's his motto. I care effing none. Zero F's given. And you can clearly see the way that he does the show, not only at halftime, messing around with Shaq, but the way that he's just been responding in the media this year, talking about Kyrie being the most miserable person he's ever seen.
Charles loves being rich, too. He loves being rich.
He's got a huge personality. He always has. But he played during a very different era than Russell Westbrook.
Do you think a guy
during,
like that?
And I don't just mean on the court. I mean just in general in this country. And in Charles Barkley day, maybe saying that I'm going to kick your wife's ass as well isn't, you know, controversial in 2019. People don't love when a player's saying that to a woman, for example. I mean, that's just one example. So Russell Westbrook, I think, maybe has to be a little bit more cautious about his reactions to fans. And I think that's what the NBA wants to avoid completely, is they want the fans to not be able to rile up the players so they don't have to deal with the PR headache of the players being riled up towards the fans.
You know how we always talk about, do you think I could play today or do you think another guy could play today? Would a guy like Charles Barkley, regardless of style of play, do you think that he would be a successful player in today's basketball game?
Well, no, we have to talk about the style. You're talking about the way the game is played today with the three-point shooting and the running up and down the floor. And
I'm
that
just
kind
talking
of deal.
About more about the personality, the boisterous, the physicality, the I don't give a
yes,
crap
the reason,
about anything.
The reason Charles Barkley's game would absolutely have transit. Look, Charles was a crap three-point
shooter.
Is he
the Boogie Cousins of today, do you think?
Charles was a lot worse, man. Not with the referees, okay? Cousins can't handle the referees. Charles was not necessarily like that. But when it came to, you know, the other players and being no nonsense and yelling at fans, yeah, Charles had a little bit of that to him. Charles would be able to play today, not because of three-point shooting, because he was an awful three-point shooter, terrible, but because he was a big man who was able to handle the basketball. And that is exactly the type of player that thrives in the league today. And that was the type of player that was really rare back when he played. Okay. Charles would start fast breaks end to end. He was an amazing rebounder, and he would start the fast break with the rebound. He had seasons where he averaged 5 assists a game. Okay. For a power forward, a guy his size, to get 5 assists a game and a guy with hands of the basketball, Charles Barkley absolutely would have been fantastic still in today. Couldn't shoot a lick. Okay. But because he was that positionless, you know, big man type who could handle the ball, yes, he'd have been fantastic playing today. I mean, just really great. Really great. He was so mean when he played. That's why it's an amazing transformation. Like, Mike Tyson has a little bit of that, too, where Mike Tyson was really nasty and a crazy person, and now you see him, like, in movies or on talk shows or whatever. Man, that guy, he's fun. He's likable.
Have you seen the video clip of Mike Tyson in a bar trying to show guys
how
to throw punches?
Yeah, it's recent, right? Yeah, he'll still kill you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he'll kill you.
Oh, my God.
I've heard some people say that is sped up. But
no way.
No,
don't
ruin it for us.
He looks like he's in the
don't
freaking Matrix the way that he's throwing
those
punches.
We're talking about how awesome
man.
Mike Tyson is. Don't ruin it. See, Tobin wouldn't ruin it right now. You're ruining it. Don't ruin it.
I did as well, by the way, read that it was sped up.
No freaking way.
Don't ruin it. Don't ruin it.
Slim's right.
It's Mike Tyson out there being amazing still, okay? But Barkley's like that, where it's a transformation from one to the other, where he was just so nasty, Barkley, and now he's funny and people like him.
I imagined getting hit with those punches that Mike was throwing in that video, and I could see my own spirit leave my body before I even hit the floor.
Your head would actually pop off when the uppercuts.
It would roll on the floor like I've never seen, and that old man is still so damn violent looking to me. Oh, my God. I don't want nothing to do with him.
Have you ever seen him in person?
Yeah.
Yeah, I walked right by him at a party one time, and like I was nervous. He walked by me, actually, and I was nervous.
I saw him right after
I didn't
want to,
like, bump into him accidentally because who knows how he's going to react, you know? That's why I was nervous.
I met him right after he did that TV interview in Toronto when he lost it on that host in Toronto.
Oh, yeah, that's really uncomfortable.
I actually asked him about it, too, and I was kind of
really
dying.
Uncomfortable.
I was kind of dying.
But have you ever, have you been on the show when we've had Mike Tyson on the show? Because I've talked to Mike Tyson several times on the show.
You were there, Romberg, because I was here.
He is very hit or miss. Sometimes he's really great, and sometimes he's awful.
He was okay.
He's very hit or miss.
I'll tell you what, man. Do yourself a favor and look for that freaking video. It will change your life
Don't listen to Slim. He doesn't know what sped up even means. Don't worry about that. We'll get you caught up with what you might have missed next. Canes baseball's on the ticket. Our next broadcast is March 24th. The Canes are going to host NC State that night. UM baseball is on the ticket, brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. And by the University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute, now at the Lennar Foundation Medical Center in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Canes baseball, also brought to you by Lexus of Kendall. This is your invitation to an all-out experience at Lexus of Kendall, with exceptional prices on all Lexus SUVs. It's all here at Lexus of Kendall and by Kendall Toyota. Pre-owned vehicles from $29.99 and $1,000 below market value. Pay top dollar for trades regardless of year and miles. Visit KendallToyota.com or WestKendallToyota.com. All right, let's get you caught up on some things that you might have missed last night. You got the ACC tournament semifinals today. We know the Canes lost a couple days ago. The ACC tournament semifinals are today. You got Virginia and Florida State, and you got UNC and Duke. But yesterday, Duke first had to get past Syracuse. And the big story coming out of that game was the return of Zion Williamson. And it's all part of the mythological lore of Zion Williamson. The shoe snapping, and upon the return, he goes 13 for 13 from the floor. All right, all the hype, all of it. And he was fun last night, but not without controversy. As at some point in the game yesterday, after a made basket running back up the floor, you had a player for Syracuse who appeared to try and trip Zion Williamson. And, you know, this has become a big discussion because, A, it's Zion, and also, it's Duke, okay? And you may remember, okay, Grayson Allen, that was a big thing with Grayson Allen when he played at Duke. You remember, typical Duke white kid that everyone hates. And that was his thing, man. He used, you know, the tripping and the kicking and that whole deal. Dirty player, man. And he did a lot of it. And yesterday, Jay Williams, was it after the game? I think it was after the game, middle of the game, whatever it was. Jay Williams, who's one of the analysts on the set last night, and of course, he went to Duke. He's one of the great Duke players of all time. He was very upset last night with the player from Syracuse.
There is no place in the game for stuff like this. I said the same thing when the Grayson Allen stuff happened a couple years ago. The same thing just happened there with Frank Howard. We have the replay. You see that straight up. There is no place in the game for that. No place in the game for that. It's uncalled for.
All right, so he's getting crazy about it. I don't think it's anything to disagree with right there, okay? You don't want players tripping other players, especially if it's someone like Zion Williamson coming back from an injury. Except here is when TMZ caught up with him last year after one of the Grayson Allen tripping incidents.
When I look at Grayson as an NBA player, I think he translates a little bit differently. I think he can be a good NBA player.
Get there.
I kind of like, you know what? I'm over it. I like the fact that he trips people. Why not? Be a villain. Enjoy it. Like, I'm not saying it's right, but I will say sometimes there's a tendency to overreact because as a Duke player, you're always hated against. Yeah. People are always telling you that you're soft. You're a choir boy. So sometimes you want to prove to people, like, no, like, I'm from not a great area. Like, I can play basketball just like anybody else.
Huh, how about that? A little revisionist history from Jay Williams. Not surprising that it's terrible when it happens against Duke, but, you know, it's... it's kind of cool if it's the Duke player doing it. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting take on it. A little bit of a liar, too, there,
slight.
Jay Williams.
Slight.
A little bit of a liar. All right, Romberg, what do you got?
Well, we all know that Mike Ryan loves himself some Cleveland Browns, and we got the official audio
obnoxious.
Of Mike Ryan when he heard the news.
911, what is your emergency?
Yes, ma'am. I'm calling because there's someone up in front of our house. We just drove home, and he's yelling and screaming and like flailing his arms.
A frantic 911 call to Shaker Heights Police Tuesday night.
And I don't want to get my kids out of the car yet because I don't know what's going on.
First, I thought it was a woman because it was very high-pitched.
Clearly.
Carita Jackson lives on Winslow Road.
And then I saw this man running down the street just flailing his arms. And I was like, oh, my God. So I put my kids back in the car, of course. And so I was, call the police.
And then, boom, we got OBJ. I was so excited. I couldn't help myself. I was just jumping around my house, and my little brother told me to stop. But I couldn't because I was so excited.
Robert Stewart lives right across the street.
Couldn't nothing stop me. Ooh, so I had to come rejoice outside.
We got Odell! We got Odell! We got Odell! We got Odell!
Jumping up and down the street. We got OBJ! Like, oh my God.
However, Stewart's celebration was cut short when officers arrived. But when he told them why...
Oh, we got OBJ, and then we backed it up. Everything was all cool, and they went back on about their day.
It's a little awkward, man. How about get to know your neighbor right across the street?
Are you talking about getting to know your neighbor down here in South Florida?
Although maybe, like, they're in an apartment, so she doesn't have to know all of her neighbors. Amber, what do you got?
Wait, you're more likely to know your neighbors in an apartment than in a house.
Nah, but not if the apartment's across the street.
No, I don't think that's what it meant. I think we were talking about houses here. Yeah, I do think that's funny coming from somebody from a South Floridian. Know your neighbors. You know all your neighbors? Well, actually, you probably do
I
in
do.
Your neighborhood.
I do.
That's weird. I definitely don't know all my neighbors. There's nothing like a good misogynistic reference from good old Dennis Rodman when TMZ rolled up on him.
I got to ask you about this hat. Let me look at that hat. I was looking at this the whole time. Make basketball tough again. What's that about?
All these guys should quit wearing tampons.
That's vulgar.
They should quit wearing tampons because apparently people who wear tampons are not tough because, you know.
He's saying they're acting like girls is what he's saying.
People who can bleed 7 days a week out of the month and still live, not tough.
All right.
According to Dennis Rodman.
There you go. So I want to get back to what happened in the Duke game last night. You know, forget the Jay Williams part, okay, which is so stupid. I do wonder for a second, because Jay Williams is on social media. He's on Twitter and that kind of deal. Jay Williams even posted last night on social media a video where he's like in a hallway underneath the arena to give an extended, an even longer opinion about the player tripping Zion Williamson and how angry he is about it and how upsetting it is and that the guy should have been thrown out of the game and should be suspended. And so, which, again, I don't think anyone's going to argue with that, okay? You know, tripping the player, intentionally tripping the player, super dirty move. But I want to be in a room with a guy like that, with Jay Williams, when someone presents both videos to him. It's like, hey, Jay, what's up with this?
I said the same thing when the Grayson Allen stuff happened a couple years ago.
And then, hey, Jay, what about this?
When I look at Grayson as an NBA player, I think he translates a little bit differently. I think he can be a good NBA player.
Get there.
I kind of like, you know what? I'm over it. I like the fact that he trips people.
Like, what is his reaction when someone shows him that? Or when, like, I suppose at some point today he'll give a response on social media. He's going to have to, like, he has to say something, right? Because this is making the rounds now. Freezing Cold Takes put it out there.
Well, how many years different is this?
One. Grace, it was last year.
I mean,
he's
got to
say something, right?
There's all sorts of people who are cold takes who don't bother addressing it, and he doesn't have to address it.
Well, you got one guy who's...
Hopefully he'll have fun with it.
You got the guy who's basically getting asked something outside of his occupation. Was it like just a TMZ stopping him randomly in the middle of the street?
Yeah.
Giving his opinion as opposed to actually being on air and having to have a little bit more of a politically correct platform. So I understand that.
I don't even think that's what happened. I think he just changed his mind. I think when it happens against a player like Zion on his team, then he cares a lot more. Then all of a sudden it's a different story. It's, you know, people always change their opinions about things when things actually affect them. There's a lot of tough talk from people about other people's lives when none of the stuff affects them. But the second it all starts affecting them, then everything changes. And that's what this feels like a little bit, is that he was more emotional about it when it happened to Zion. like as if it was happening to him, you know, happening to a player who he really likes and respects. And so he changed his opinion on it.
Here's the kid from Syracuse after the game.
I was just showing the video on the way out here. I mean, if you're saying I'm trying to trip him, I don't get it. I saw the play. I realized I tripped him, and I tried to, you know, give him a little hand. At the same time, I'm in the heat of the game with a very tough defender on me. You know, I was trying to get open, get the ball, you know, get the ball out fast. That's all I really remember of the play. I just saw the video really quick, but, you know, he's a hell of an athlete, a hell of a player. You know, I have a lot of respect for him. I'm not going to wait 4 years to get to this stage to start tripping people.
Hey, thank you, guys.
It's a joke.
Oh, he's
what?
He's mad. He big mad. He big mad.
Is that him, like, mumbling that as he's walking away?
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, guys.
It's a joke.
Ooh, he big mad. All right. Get to more of that next.